I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Hi.
Afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm chewing.
Yeah, no. It's good to get that primed. Get the old the old face holes primed.
Ah, much better.
Yep. Woo! That's good.
I had to put things in the top hole so that I could come up the bottom hole.
Wait, which one? I thought the eye holes would be the top hole then. Is that how you eat?
I thought that's how everybody eats.
No. Oh, we got a few science books to update, I guess. Yeah, it's a little bit exclusionary of us so far to ignore the eye eaters. It's not what it sounds like. It's not like an anteater. Hey, no, that would go around eating eyeballs.
Eyes, yeah.
That would be the worst creature to be. Like, literally, yeah. your sustenance is like every creature's worst nightmare, to just have something troll over them and steal their vision and then leave without any
other
cares.
It does sound like something like that maybe already exists.
Instead of Jeepers Creepers, it's just Jeepers Peepers. I mean, I know that that's a big part of that movie anyways, where'd you get those peepers? So he didn't have a fixation on eyes, but instead of that, just Jeepers Peepers. It's like Slowpoke Rodriguez, Speedy Gonzalez's cousin. Mm-hmm. You just change a few letters around and now you've got a weird monster that goes around just robbing people's eyes. And then it's like, well, you know, like, I mean, I'm going to live forever just stealing people's eyes. You're going to be blind for the rest of your life. So, I mean, that's not as bad as having your, like, a torso torn out, right? Like, that's what my cousin does. He's not very cool about it.
Well, he got hungry.
Or
what's he
maybe
supposed
he's
to do?
Like the mummy in The Mummy, and he starts with the eyes, and then but then he gets interrupted, and he comes back for the rest. Could be that, too. He just, like, gets distracted. He's, like, in the middle of taking body snatching, body part snatching, and he's just like, he finishes the eyes, and you see him get a text, and he's like, oh, shit, I got a jam. And he heads out and takes care of some business.
Yeah, he's
like,
gotta
sells
go.
A bag of weed or something. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and, like, finishes you off. Later. Yeah,
I don't like whoever this guy is.
Yeah, he's not polite. He doesn't get invited back to, you know, reunions and parties.
I don't think he has any social tact.
He's like that guy.
That's number one.
He's like that douchebag who just roams from group to group. And once everybody finds out that he robs you of your sight, well, then he's got to move on, because now nobody likes him.
Hmm.
Yeah. Rob Sight, being recognized for his contributions to the hearing aid industry and allowing ants to hear sounds.
It's a good award. He worked really hard for it, obviously.
No. Or someone else did,
and then the irony is, no one could see him win his award.
Yeah, the whole—it's like the Twilight Zone style twist. It's like, oh, yeah. Now no one's there to enjoy our award.
No,
cruel fate.
What have I done? This is just the way I was.
I understand now.
Oh, EYE.
Yeah.
I understand.
I understand. EYE understand.
Yeah.
The companion to iRobot. I understand. It's like robots inventing humans. And then the humans go crazy and just start crapping everywhere. And it's like, I understand why we eliminated humans in the first place.
They're so complex and moody.
Speaking of which, like, I had an idea for Futurama. I don't think they ever made this joke, but I thought that they could have. I remember that Bender needed alcohol to fuel his circuits, and for some reason, he would occasionally go into murderous rages where he would threaten to kill all humans. I was thinking, wouldn't it have been better if Bender had an alcohol blood content rather than a blood alcohol content, and he needed to constantly replenish his alcohol, but every now and then he got drunk on human blood, and he had to, you know, like, it's the same way you feel like cracking a beer every now and then. You might crack a human and get drunk. So that could have explained his murderous rage, and also, I like the idea of an alcohol blood content. It's like, You can make a just be like, I don't have a blood alcohol level. I have an alcohol blood level. They just say, sir, you only have 0.5% blood in your veins. The rest is alcohol.
That's well, and what I feel like I hear you saying is that that's the opposite of a blood alcohol. It's an alcohol sure. blood.
Yeah, go with that.
I'm so glad.
It's oxymoronical. To be moronical.
Yeah. Well, you can have whatever you want. If it's alcohol over blood, you know, if you're like, I don't need water. Well,
some people like to have a little blood mixed in with their alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Bloody Marys.
Is that a good way to keep your to stay from getting too drunk? Mix some blood in with your alcohol, so you know you're getting some new blood that's not drunk.
Yeah, as long as it's your own.
I don't know if it's you have to save it from later. Then
did they say that? Isn't it like medically, if you have a boo boo and you're supposed to like lick it yourself? Oh wait, no. They said if you get a dog to lick it, that
another part
heals faster because they have healing properties and their saliva is.
I accidentally
cleaner.
Cut my finger open. Now I'm going to cut the rest of my hand open so you're supposed to pour blood onto my finger.
If you have a wound, you're supposed to suck your own blood and it helps send the right antibody. I don't know. I feel
think the
like
dog licking
here,
thing, I think that licking
I don't know enough.
Your wounds actually does act as an anesthetic.
You weren't responding because it was terrible. It's
it
because
only,
you lost
I think it,
your sex.
It sterilizes, but also,
oh, no.
it like if you get a paper
I'm
cut
alone,
or a little cut on your finger,
sure
I've noticed it if I just, you know, suck on it for a minute
Our
or something like that.
Love
it usually
overlap.
Causes it to not sting as much, especially burns.
Our conversation.
Burns help too. I think that your own saliva.
I'll call you
helps
back.
To,
I'll
I think that's why the whole thing with.
Usually he calls me, but today I'm calling him.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That went well, so we got disconnected. That was cool.
Okay. I talked the whole time, and I'm sure you did too.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And
I think
people love it.
Why they say mama, kiss it and make it better, that whole thing. I think there might have been some truth to that.
I don't know what they say.
It's got to be like a slobbery
you
French
cut
kiss.
Out again.
Like French mothers had much more success
Maybe
ratio because when they kiss their baby's wounds, it's like more of a nom, like a quick
talking.
Makeout section. Quick makeout
he
section.
Stop talking. I'll just read.
Hello?
Ooh, let's see if I can guess his pauses.
Oh, I guess we're not hearing each other?
Uh-huh.
Okay, no, we'll do this. Ma'am?
Sure.
Ma'am? Nope, it's not working.
I understand.
Hang on.
But wait. Okay. I know! Are my interjections, hopefully they're spot on. That'd be hilarious. We're trying to connect again, folks. We are so sorry. Stupid Skype. This is a you know, they ask for, afterwards, they have a survey that says, how is your connection? I'll be like, effing not good. That's what I'll say. Well, my connection seems to be good. His isn't. So, we'll just keep calling. That's the Skype call sound. I don't know if it's his fault or mine. All right. I'll read some odd news while we try to get a hold of him. I mean, I would prefer Jason's response to these, but... In Juneau, Alaska... people are at risk of overdosing from heroin or other opiates can get life-saving medicine for free starting Monday. Oh, thank you. See, I have a heroin problem. I should go to Juneau, Alaska. Oh, nope, that's not the... Oh, he's calling me on this thing. Hold on. Hello?
Hey.
Are we not going to do Skype?
No, I'm getting ready to just throw Skype into the sun like a bag of turds.
Are you still recording? I am. I'm pretty brave.
I'm not still. I restarted, but it'll probably be fine. Oh, man. Skype. More like scrap. Put it on the Skype heap.
Yeah, they
call Skylar and get him down here. Tell him his namesake is letting us all down.
That was pretty bad. I think we've got some interesting stuff between the two of us. If yours is better, then you can just insert chicken sounds. But if mine's better, then you have to find a sound to insert for your voice, like a buffalo eating grass or something. Find that.
Skype my face off the road after this heinous virtual wreck.
Heinous sounds like anus.
No. So screw the internet. I'm going to invent a new internet now. It's called the subnet. I'm going to bury a bunch of satellites in the center of the earth, and they're going to talk more reliably. I'm going to get signals relayed from moles and worms, and I will learn to communicate through the earth.
Through the earth. And then every once in a while, like, some random ground mole chews on one of your audio signals.
Well, if he does, then he's fired. Then he's that's not what we pay him for.
Ooh,
and that's not like fired like normal. That's like fired like the molten core will swallow you up and you will burst into flames. You're fired.
You're fired.
You're like literally fired in a kiln. We will put you in a kiln and you will be fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
No.
Well, I look forward to your ground internet.
The grounder net.
Ground.
Yeah, if you think entertainment on the internet is lowbrow, just wait until puns start introducing themselves into the ground net. Oh, it's because my internet's probably taking a gigantic dump. It looks like it's not. It's on a bathroom break. It says on the browser.
It's not even interneting at all. It sounds like.
No, it's internotting. It's in an internot.
It's not, not internot.
We're traveling at zero internauts.
We're entering the internever.
Yeah.
So is it like your actual company or like
your
signal?
What current events? Oh, okay. What else? The internet is pissing me off. That's what's happening with that. So anyway.
I have an interesting, apparently in Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
Feral cats are killing the endangered Hawaiian petrel seabirds. Researchers found the bodies of six of the birds, which were found dragged from their underground breeding burrows by cats, and some were partially eaten.
Yep, it's all those, I forget what they call, but the white people who moved to Hawaii, I guarantee you it's that. They're like, oh, but I want to bring Whiskers with me. So they start bringing cats over to the island. And now they're just inundated. Like, not everybody getting their cat neutered or anything like that. So they're just, now there's a bunch of feral cats. And now they're eating the birds.
Oh, man. Endangered birds. These are very special birds. And apparently they nest in the ground.
Why Bob Barker was screaming about animals' genitals for decades from his pulpit.
From his very fancy microphone. Yes. I'd like to get that microphone. I can hold that, and I could record for our Sibcast using that microphone. I can hold that. I could feel very cool about that.
You would have to, you know, have part of your home converted into a soundstage, and have, you know, set up, because you can't just hold that microphone. That's like, it loses its power. It's like the way peanuts don't taste the same off of an airplane. When you go up in an airplane, peanuts and pretzels have a different flavor. Like, that microphone's not going to have the same allure without plenty of neon and chiming bells and screeching housewives around. So you're going to have to, you know, just consider that in your plans. I don't want you to set yourself up for failure or be disappointed when you purchase this microphone and you find it doesn't have the powers that you expected.
Yes.
No.
Nope. All right,
just exercise caution.
I try to do that with nothing that I do. Or everything.
Not even exercise? You don't exercise with caution when you're exercising? Like, is there a caution machine here? I was told to exercise caution, and I don't know where that is on my body, but I'd like... Is it near the glutes? Because I know I have to be pretty careful when I go to the bathroom. Is it somewhere around there? Okay. I'll jump on the... I'll do some squats then, and I'll exercise caution by doing squats.
Is there a caution machine?
And then there's the issue machine. Yeah, I'm going to go over here and work out my issues.
That's behind that's behind your scapula. I do know
okay,
that.
Okay, now advanced maneuver, you want to exercise caution when you're working out your issues, but don't start doing that right away. Do want to exercise caution or work out your issues, but not both at the same time. At first, it's going to be a little rough.
Well, it does hurt. You will be sore. There's still lactic acid buildup, even if you work out your issues or exercise caution. And then is there exercise extreme caution?
Yeah, that's like the CrossFit version of exercising caution. That's like when you get reactive lights involved, feedback, haptic feedback sensors, extreme caution.
Yeah, a lot of LED, yeah.
Yep, all that. So, I mean, you just want to stick with working out issues maybe at first, then exercise caution, then exercise extreme caution.
You can have, like, the clanking of, like, weights in a weight room in the background to all this. It'll sound good.
I could. Now that you said that, I probably won't. I mean, you ruined it, but okay.
Oh, no! No, it'll still sound good. I'll just sound smart.
But it won't be funny when everybody knows what's going on. That's just not funny in my experience.
It is funny. Sometimes it's funny to point out the exact obvious.
Did you say obvious or opposite? How about the imprecise obvious? I'm not being so exact in my obviviousness. You're quite oblivious to what's going on around you. It's obvious, but you're oblivious to it. Oblivious. It sounds like a...
Oblivious.
Oblivious Johnson. When you're taking roll. Oblivious Botricia Johnson.
I'm her.
Yeah,
now, are you saying her spelled H-E-R or H-U-R-R? Are you identifying as a female or are you identifying that you are present?
I'm her.
Oh, I will.
I hurt myself.
Now, did you hurt yourself or did you hear yourself?
I heard that.
Now, are you lashing out at others or are you simply signifying that you understand? Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, let me ask you. Now, are you going to assault me with an implement? Or are you simply inquiring about something you don't understand? Or is this a rhetorical axing? I'm not sure that I'm not confused.
I'm not sure that I'm not confused. That was like last night when we tried to watch Zoolander 2, which it's got some funny parts, but it's just, anyway.
I'm not even going to try on that one.
Yeah, well, I know. Anyway, there was a character played by Benedict Cumberbatch, or however you say his name, and he doesn't have eyebrows, and Zoolander's asking him if he's a male or female. They're like, do you have a hot dog or a bun? You know, I just want to know. And the guy, one of the squirrely guys from SNL, his character was like, he doesn't have to talk about himself. Himself. And I was like, yeah, himself. That's a good one. Oh, the name was All. All does not have to talk about himself. That's a good way. If you're not really sure. Himself. Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of confusing things to thank the fashion industry for. So thank you, fashion industry. And movies about it. For Schlur contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like wavy models, chicks thinking that they're supposed to be super skinny. How long did that go? That was something. Manufacturer's defects. Did I mention this? I wonder, along with like just things like the fashion industry being apparent, like allegedly, what most people are surmising is that largely dictated, ironically, by gays. That women would look a certain way because clothes hang better off of women who are thinner and don't have as many curves, but that was that's not what men have ever liked or ever preferred. Not that we don't like that, but we prefer curves. So there was this notion for decades that skinny women were what was attractive merely because they function in fashion, and no one ever pointed out that, hey, that's just for fashion. Fashion is different from sexy, like, but no one figured it out. So women just thought that was what everyone wanted. So there's all these skinny chicks around, and then just because of mob mentality, we all kind of slowly agree, like, yeah, I guess skinny chicks are hot, right? Because there's lots of them. Okay. But no, I think we're finding like all this crazy like big is beautiful thing, it's a little bit of an overcorrection because I don't think we ever didn't think big was beautiful. We just were told skinny was beautiful when it's like, ah, it's not as good as a little bit bigger. But then fat gets lumped into bigger and it's like, no, that now you're in the other direction too. Like just being gigantic is not healthy or attractive.
I know, it's so funny. It's like, hey, over here? And they're like, no, 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 no. And he's like, okay, over here? No, 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 no. And we're like trying to get them to look direct. Just look right in the middle. Just look at my face. And they're like, over here?
It's the same reason that there was a they tell you not to overcorrect in one like jerking motion when you drift off the edge of the road.
Yeah.
Because then you'll just end up in the other ditch. So you're supposed to slowly correct, but this is the same mistake. We just quickly overcorrect and then we're on the other side of the road all of a sudden instead of looking at the problem and gradually making our way out of it and controlling our ascent from madness. We just flip right over into another version of madness. And that leads me to manufacturer's defects was something along the same line. Like, subtly, I wonder how, in a consumer society, how often you receive a product that is defective somehow, but not in a way that it's totally dysfunctional, but in a way that it plagues you with dysfunction. So you never get an accurate experience with these products. Like, quality control can only go so far. And then to a certain extent, you're using a product that might have a flaw in it that's causing you untold amounts. Like, there could be someone who you get like a product from the internet, and just because of one little flaw, you end up losing your house and your wife, and you're divorced because it pisses you off, and the butterfly flaps its wings.
Oh, goodness.
And all. So that's my thing, is like, think about in a consumer society. That's why I specifically bring up manufacturer's defects, basically the unforeseen errors that get sold and pushed out the door that never get found, never get recalled, never anything. Like, how many suicides or broken homes or maybe even, you know, lottery winners or success stories.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
You get like a defective spatula that causes you to not eat breakfast, and then you go out to buy breakfast and now you meet like a guy and all that. Butterfly wings all over the place. I would like my omelet with extra butterfly wings and extra flapping. I would like some butterfly flapjacks. Thanks. These are good. Keep them coming because they're only each the size of a butterfly's wings. So they're very small.
Can I just order something that will cause me to go buy a winning lottery ticket?
These butterflaps. That's like a lady who just has a nice butt instead of a butterface, a butterflaps. it's not very flattering, but it is. But it's not.
No.
Again, I think it's one of those, again, two steps back, one step forward kind of thing. It's like, I feel like you've been insulted halfway now just because there's one compliment and two insults packaged into that butterflaps.
Butterflaps.
Would you like some butterflaps for your butter flapjacks?
Thank you, yes. No.
This is too confusing now, the verbiage. I've lost my appetite.
I have an interesting headline. My favorite is the end of the headline. It's very tiny. It says, in White Plains, New York, police are investigating a claim that the captain of the tugboat Specialist that sunk and killed three this winter near the Tappan Zee Bridge was helming a different boat while that captain was below deck. Possibly with a woman.
Oh, so like one captain was like, I'm going to get it on. You watch my boat. And then that other guy's boat like crashed and killed three people.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't have been down there with a woman.
Well, I don't know what that's the reason. That's probably the most noble reason to die. So the people who died probably don't agree. But like, you know, what else are you going to do? Like, a guy's trying to basically, like, on purpose or otherwise, he might be making a life. I feel like you pro-life people should be on this guy's side. He was down there procreating, maybe not. But he was still doing the thing that's the thing. So, you don't know, maybe, like, where does conception begin? Is it when the drunken captain is below deck, slinging deck at a nice lady?
Yeah.
He's below her poop deck? Yeah, I don't think that's polite to just judge this gentleman. You know, he comes, he probably feels sad. He probably feels sorry about the people who died, but hey, you know, that's the price you pay. No, well, actually, the price he paid was probably $100, but in addition to that price, some people lost their lives. Some nice gentlemen lost their lives. They were sailors, weren't they? Who was it?
You're here to see.
Was it sailors who perished? Huh?
It's not really that detailed.
Oh, well, if it's just sailors, then it's like good riddance.
No, I mean, maybe they're like passengers.
Oh.
It just said killed three. I don't know.
Those weren't the only seamen lost that day. All right.
Oh,
well.
Man.
Oh, jeez.
You just know how to make things upbeat, don't you?
Okay. Make a silver lining out of this sad jacket that I found in the dumpster. I'm going to convert this sad jacket into silver linings for other jackets. I'm going to recycle it into silver linings.
I feel like we've talked about that before.
No, well, not specifically recycling jackets into silver linings, but I think that's a program you could get, like, you know, downtrodden youths, special interests, special needs. Black and retarded people, I guess, is what I'm saying. Oh, my God. Okay, moving on.
Wow!
What did I say? I blacked out for a second there.
I know, yeah, you did. That was a good one.
Well,
I think there's just more mass confusion going on in the world right now.
Oh.
Nothing really makes sense. So you could say anything, and it probably makes just as much sense.
Well, the same thing. Fat people, fashion, manufacturers' defects, and the fact that daytime TV is so terrible says to me that there are a lot of people out there who just do not compute reality and entertainment nearly on its own terms. Think about it this way. If people were more on the ball or, I don't know, related to reality more realistically, just keep that sentence messed up entirely, then I feel like daytime TV would be better or at least palatable. Like, I turn on daytime TV and it's like, I don't have a lot of channels, but there's like 10, 15 channels to choose from coming in over the air, and every single one of them is just some pile of shit that it's like, who watches this? Why are people so varying that daytime TV just sucks ass? That's crazy.
I don't know. I don't think there's enough people that are home during the day that are reasonable.
Well, I think that there are a lot of, especially now. Think about it. But then, you know, I bet if you buy TV, you've got everything. So this is kind of a moot point. But there are more people home now than ever, I would argue. And I think that Oprah proved that there's a massive at-home audience, because when she tried to venture out of her territory into, like, prime time, she faltered. She didn't realize that her entire existence was daytime TV. It was the daytime TV audience. So I would say there are a lot of people, and there's just a lot of people, like the kind of person that doesn't have a job and stays home just watching TV. Like, there's a lot. It's the same thing with, like, ignorance and the South, you know, the pieces fit together. Something about heat and biblical roots doesn't promote a lot of free thinking, I guess. I don't know. And then the same thing with daytime TV. Not having a job, being dependent, makes you just want to watch soap operas. And I don't know. The Price is Right with Drew Carey, which is just the price is totally wrong. I still am not on board with that guy. He's getting more awkward. Sometimes, like, they had a crossover where they were trying to mix up all the shows and get people, like, cross-promoted. So Drew Carey showed up on Let's Make a Deal, and then I went and watched up. Yeah, he showed up, and I tried to watch The Price is Right a couple times after that to be like, all right, I'll buy it. Let's see what's going on. He's more awkward now than when he started hosting the show. Like, the awkward half words, the pauses, the not being comfortable with human interaction, clearly. He's been hosting
that. Yeah, he's just, like, not funny anymore. Because he was funny.
No, I don't think he was ever funny. People wrote for him, but I bet if you go back and watch his stand-up, he's probably not very good. And then on The Price is Right, he's been hosting it for like 5 years now, and he's worse than when he started. It's crazy. I can't watch that show because he's so awkward. Like, I figured he would have.
Well, and that says a lot coming from you.
Not really. I'm fickle. The little things piss me off, and then I judge them harshly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if your awkwardometer goes off for him, because you're, like, also awkward, like, then that just means that he's way off.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's, to the contrary, along with my intelligence, dar, and and creative dar and all that. Awkward dar, it's mine's very sensitive, so I can instantly see when someone's awkward. Yeah. So it's very, I see all the awkwardness, and that's what's part of makes me awkward. Although, like, that's the ironic thing about awkward dar, is it bounces off each other and it makes it more awkward, and then everyone's awkward dar tunes way up, and then you're like, oh my god, I'm like over cycling, like it's a positive feedback cycle, and my awkward dar is going to explode. I think that happens. I think severe introverts, extreme introverts, probably just have like panic attacks eventually, where they overheat and they can't do anything but blush and sweat.
Blushed. Oh my gosh, my rosacea's back.
Oh no. Yeah, that's gotta be bad. I don't know how you diffuse that. You just have to like football tackle one of them out of the way, so it's like getting locked into, like, holding on to an electrical circuit you can't let go, and it's frying your blood slowly. It's like someone's got to just break the connection. Yeah.
Well, if anybody needs a solution, Jason's got it.
Yes, I do. I have a solution that I'm selling by the ounce.
It's very potent.
Very potent. You'll want to take a lot of it also. So...
Good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So are there any, so you don't like daytime television. We understand that. I think you've made it very clear.
I hope so.
Are there any, like, evening shows that you watch on a regular basis? Or are you more just, like, streaming, like, Netflix, Hulu, stuff like that?
I don't know. All the daytime sitcoms aren't so bad. Or the, not daytime, but the later daytime before it's evening, like, The Big Bang Theory. I used to talk smack about that show, but that one's really funny and well put together. So it's got smart humor and yeah, that's a good.
Like, do you have like a top five like favorite shows?
No.
No, I know.
I don't like stuff that much. There's not like, oh man, I'm gonna definitely endorse these things. That was my thing is I'm only going to endorse or affiliate once we all agree 100% on what words mean. So when we all get down, like down pat, when I say socialist and no one bats an eyebrow and we all understand that, like, that means a certain thing, then I will start to affiliate. But until that day, when words can just mean whatever people feel, I'm not putting any stock in words.
You're like, I'm not giving you it's any bait. No way.
WRDZ is words... stock index number. I think that's one extra letter too many, but we had to do that. So words, just words as a concept. You can invest or not invest in them as you see fit, or don't see fit.
I have the most random headline. This one, it's so random. So in Trustville, Alabama, firefighters rescued Darby Risner. Or Reisner, 15, who was trapped for 45 minutes in the plush purple head of Barney the Dinosaur. She had put the head on hoping to scare her friends.
Wait.
Oh.
Was it the authentic Barney head, or?
Apparently, it's something like that. She got her head stuck in it for 45 minutes. That would be so scary. Like,
well, how big of a head does this kid have on her? Isn't that thing designed for an adult?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that leaves more questions than answers, because I'm like, I thought maybe it was just a little looser up top, or is there some sort of a brace inside the Barney head?
Must got her hair or something caught on it.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It goes to show you, don't trust Barney.
Never have.
With your kids. I mean, yeah. Of
My
course.
My kids never watched Barney. It was funny. I remember when they were little, people were like, yeah, we watch Barney. I'm like, my kids have never wanted to.
We never watched Barney. It was around when we were little, too, I think, or was, like, when we weren't too old.
It always seemed pretty... We never watched it. My kids never watched it. It's not... I'm not drawn to some dinosaur that's like, hey, guys...
I don't know. I think that along with manufacturers' defects, fat people, and whatever else I said, there's also the crappy entertainment. Just because parents before, like, daycare and everything was really established or anything, they're just like, hey, sit in front of this TV and just like glue your face to whatever's on it. And it's like, well, there's five shows. One of them is Barney. That is the closest thing to something that a kid would enjoy. So I will watch that as a child. And so now we have crappy shows because you just, that's what you were looking at. That's what was being pumped into your face because of your negligent parents and your lackluster creatives of your generation.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the baby
that
boomers.
That started as like a like ha-ha story and then ended like where everyone just feels bad.
An indictment of your parenting. Well, there can we be honest, there was a lot of subpar parenting going on. I mean, I think with the internet, we're getting better at parenting. But with PTSD from wars and from like building the country and stuff, like our the generation before the 30 somethings right now had a lot of real shit to deal with, and we're all like, hey, I'm 30 and I don't have a job, but like our parents are like, I'm 19 and like I've been decapitated and I put my head back on and kept going. It's like I literally my head came off my body, but then I was like, well, I've got to make ends meet, so this isn't gonna stop me, and so I just glued my spinal cord back together, and that's why there's a scar around my neck. So like that's a comparison. It's almost the disparity between life experiences like that. And I do think that so there was some not so great parenting, but it's not like it was the parents entirely their fault. They had no tools, no experiences to tell them to parent any other way. There was a lady, hilarious, but an old lady in Domino's the other day. We messed up both of her pizzas, so she was standing there waiting for us to remake them. And luckily, she was super nice, and like she almost looked like she had come down from like, or like she looked like a biker grandma or something, like cool old lady. And she was talking about how, you know, it's sad, like kids are out of control because we can't punish them, you know, you can't spank them anymore. It's looked down upon. And, you know, everyone was agreeing. I was even like, yeah, you know, like sometimes you got to get their attention. And then she was she started leaning into it more. And then I started to be like, huh, you really seem to really be about the spanking and all that. And I don't think that she was really that far out of line, but it was kind of, it started to breed like telling more stories about it. And I'm like, huh, well, maybe we're not on the same page on that. Maybe you're a chapter or two ahead of me in this book.
Yeah, like we were comfortable for a minute. Everyone was vibing, and then you took it too far.
Yeah, but it's still a cool old lady, and I would rather err on the side of a little too much punishment than too little. But too much, obviously bad. You don't want to cause any scarring or like mental or physical. But like seriously, kids are idiots, and they don't think with their brains. So sometimes you gotta, you gotta every now and then get them in line a little bit there.
Oh yeah, if there's danger or there's things where you're like, excuse me. Yeah, every single one of my kids has gotten like a little like quick wrist flick pop to the back of their head, a little pop. And there's like no arms, there's no elbow swinging involved. There's just a little pop. Like wake up.
The more important thing is, and this is what people don't focus on in every issue, but the more important thing is the intent. What are you intending to convey with this action when you strike your child in the back of the head lightly with like a whipping hand motion? Are you trying to make them feel pain, or are you trying to make them pay attention you love them? Because, well, I don't know. I'm just, you are doing it because you want their attention because you don't want them to get hurt. And I think that there's like you can see someone punish their kid physically and maybe not know which mindset they're in, but I think that's the most important part.
That's a great delineate, like the fact that you're drawing that line. That does. It makes it does. I've never stopped to think about it because I've never had like sinister, you know, or negative connotation. When I did it, it is. It's for like.
Well, exactly.
You paid attention. You're about to run into the road. Like, that's so dangerous. No. Well, I never wanted to hurt them, but sometimes they are in like a, like you said, like not necessarily like stupid, but kids are just like, and they'll be like in a wild mood, not paying attention, and you literally have to snap them out of it. And then they look at you like, and you're like, okay, now that
I
have your attention.
It speaks to the projective powers of humanity, that the same way a gay guy will become a Republican and try to outlaw being gay. It's sort of the same thing with like, if a stranger sees you punishing your child or trying to get doing one of these actions, and they say, hey, you shouldn't abuse your child, that's wrong, they think about what they're thinking. They're seeing your physically hitting them as a hateful gesture, and you kind of have to ask yourself what inside of them automatically interprets what I deem and what most reasonable people would deem in some cases to be a necessary course of action for child rearing. What makes them
exactly
think, what makes them put you as a monster in that situation? Like, what has gone wrong in their lives where they see that
exactly
only as unreasonable and as vicious?
I've totally thought of that. Actually, recently, I thought that exact same thing where I'm just like, I get that you could read something like that, but if I'm not operating, excuse me, under those pretenses, and that's not where I'm, like you said, the origin of thought and the purpose behind it, it does. It makes you turn around and go, instead of, it's exactly right. Like, who's giving them the power to say, hey, it's like, well, hey, why would you see it like that? What's, you know, but nobody's going back and re-questioning the questioner.
Yeah, it's the Jesse Jacksons or the Al Sharptons or the, I think was it Spike Lee's? I think he's another one who sometimes they take the racism thing, for example, too far in the other direction where they see racism where there isn't racism. It's like, well, hang on, you have to really examine what you're seeing in the world now, because now you're just sort of projecting your own insecurities and your own concerns on things.
Yeah.
And that goes back to manufacturer's defects. That's almost like creator manufacturer defects. I have some, yeah. I have a bone to pick with God. I have a funny bone, as a matter of fact. What the hell is that thing about, first off? But yeah, you could go back to the God manufacturer defects, where there's just people are just flawed, and they just, our design, or not our design in that sense, but the naturally selected remains of humanity in this version of reality are contradictory, self-contradictory. Like, we keep just throwing sticks in our own spokes and then fixing our own bikes.
Why isn't my bike working?
It's like in being John Malkovich, if you're all John Malkovich throwing sticks into your own spokes and then taking your own bike to your own repair shop and fixing it. Malkovich. You're like, why?
Malkovich!
Okay, that's
why
a funny,
am I John Malkovich?
That's a funny thing, because it's like, that's how sometimes I think people see, like, therapy or, like, to see someone.
The rapist?
Help. Yeah, people going to the rapist. Ugh. Yeah. Is that they think they can fix themselves. They think, I'm okay. Like, no, you haven't fixed yourself so far. And obviously you have extreme bits of rage going on that are affecting the loved ones around you. How about you just seek help? But they're like, you're right. It's like, they're hurt. Exactly what you said about the bike. And then going to the bike shop where they own, you know, it's like, you're never going to fix yourself. Why would you think that it's a sign of weakness to get help? You can't help yourself. You don't know. You have a sordid past.
The same flaws that allow you to unknowingly or subliminally project your insecurities on other people are exactly what you're doing it to yourself too, everybody. Like, the reason that other people are succeeding and you're not, or you're not experiencing the existence that you want, is because there are patterns in your perceptiveness that you can't perceive and that are not going to go away on their own. I think that's why, partly why we're a social creature, because what we're capable of, we can't do alone. Like, you have to have more humans to actually maximize our capacity.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so they say cultures that flourish in, like, a community, like a give-and-take environment where it's like, hey, instead of, like, payment, I help you, you help me. And it's like, we can help each other. And it's like, you have to be willing to be open, but it kind of goes back to, what is it within you that makes you think that seeking help is a form of weakness or a sign of, like, you know, you're some sort of a superior human that you don't need it? Like, that's not true either.
Yeah, it's the ego talking, and that's part of, but yeah. Think about it, the ego, that you can't just get rid of it, because that's what gives, Richard Branson and Steve Jobs and all these guys enough clout, whether they deserve it or not. They believe that they matter enough that they are worth proving it to the world, and that ego is what drives invention forward. So we kind of have to be assholes, but then, like, these are all useful tools, but they get used against us too, so they're blessings and curses. Like, everything that is a bad thing you see in the world, like terrorism and all that, like, that's that sort of creative tenacity, it's just that's applied everywhere in evil and good, And it, unfortunately, we just had to kind of keep it. I mean, fortunately as well, we have to keep it in balance. It keeps us on our toes and appreciative of existence. I think if there were no violence, then we wouldn't appreciate being alive so much, ironically.
Well, it's just funny when you meet people who are so clearly out of touch with their own, like they just, if I just yell louder, people will listen. Or if I'm just angrier, and it's like, well, no one respects you. They're just like either scared or they can't do anything about it yet because they're a kid. And it's like, it's just so sad when you watch it like unfolding and they could do so much better, but obviously they don't care.
Yep, and I think that is unfortunately a trickle-down effect. Like, if things do trickle down, it's sort of general consensus on decency. And I think because our politics and our leaders are so unscrupulous and untrustworthy, I think that our personal interactions and connections are also suffering because we see how terribly dishonest everything is. The same way that seeing a guy do a backflip on a motorcycle, now everyone's doing backflips on motorcycles. Like, if see dishonesty at the top, now everyone's perpetuating dishonesty throughout the system because we see that as inherent. If our leaders were setting a better example, I do believe that you would see less just overall corruption. I think that this is kind of the way that our society and the way humanity has evolved has led us to this position where we're a little imbalanced with the honesty department. We do not have, and I think it's because to get by, like, what, say you're a lion and you want to eat whatever the hell lions eat, an antelope burger. I assume that they just go to the antelope burger place and get a nice burger made out of antelope.
I prefer white.
You're not going to tell the antelope, you're not going to say, hey, I'm hungry, but like, I'm not going to eat you. You just want to come like hang out and we'll just like do stuff. Like, yeah, that's cool. No, he's not going to tell the antelope the truth is what I'm saying. He's going to construct the reality around him so that the antelope comes to him so that he can eat it. And that is not in the antelope's interest. So similarly, I think in many ways we are able to construct our own truths in that way. And I think that a lot of people have found it cunning to construct a sort of an untruthful narrative, and that works in their favor. And that's one of the biggest frustrations. That's why I try to be as honest as possible, because one of our biggest problems is sort of the usefulness of dishonesty. How you can, like, if you say in poker, if you don't have a hand, you can tell people you do, and you make just as much money as if you had a hand. So
I know.
That's where dishonesty and where reality filtering come in, and we've found this tool very useful for asset acquiring. But like in a social environment, when you want all the boats to rise, and you still want other boats to, you want people to buy bigger boats and yachts and stuff, but you don't want anyone to drown, you really do have to step back and stop thinking from that selfish sort of dishonest perspective of getting an edge over people. Like, that's how we survived, but that's not how we're gonna thrive.
Oh, that's a good... Oh, look at you.
All right.
My goodness.
Killer insights, bro. Hang 20.
Hey, bruh.
Yeah, because Jesus is riding those waves with you. He's harshing the curl.
Hey, bruh. Harshing the curl.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. All right, you want to pinch this off since it started to get serious?
Yes, I do. Yeah, scare away all the people. All right, well, you all get out of here.
Story time's over. You go on now.
You go on now. Get yourself an antelope burger there. All right, well, we'll call that a day and a night and 3, 2, 1.
Yes.